the question of the authority of the Bible. But from the standpoint of apologetics, the strategic priority of the defense of Scripture is clear. If the Bible is established as carrying the weight of divine authority, then its teaching on the person and work of Christ is thereby confirmed. Defending the faith to the best of our ability is not a luxury or an indulgence in intellectual vanity. It is the task given to each one of us as we bear witness to our faith before the world. I hope this book will help the listener to that end. R.C. Sproul, Orlando, Easter, 2003. Section 1, The Apologetic Task. Chapter 1, The Task of Apologetics. One major facet of our work at Ligonier Ministries is helping Christians know what they believe and why they believe it. This is the work of apologetics. The task or science of Christian apologetics is primarily concerned with providing an intellectual defense of the truth claims of the faith. The term apologetics comes from the Greek word apologia, which literally means a reasoned statement or a verbal defense. To give an apology, then, unlike the more current definition of I'm sorry, is to defend and argue for a particular point of view. The work of apologetics rests upon a biblical command. We find a mandate in Scripture to defend the faith, a mandate that every Christian must take seriously. In 1 Peter 3, verses 14b through 16, the apostle writes, "Have no fear of them, those who would harm you, nor be troubled, but in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame." We are exhorted in this passage to stand ready in case anyone asks us to give a reason for our hope as Christians. This, Peter declares, is one way we regard Jesus as the Holy Lord. Secondly, notice the ethical emphasis in verse 16. We are to answer all inquiries, even the abusive ones, with gentleness and respect, so that those who revile Christians as evildoers might be ashamed. In this passage, we see the reason for and importance of engaging in the task of apologetics. The Church Fathers knew this task all too well, for the early Christian community was accused of participating in many devious acts. Leading up to the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD, Christianity had been viewed by the Roman Empire as a subset or sect of Judaism. But upon the Holy City's destruction and the ensuing diaspora, the scattering of the Jews, the separation of Christianity from Judaism became evident. The problem for Christianity was this: Judaism was a legally sanctioned religion in the Roman Empire. Christianity had no such luxury. The practice of the Christian faith was illegal and subject to prosecution. The Christian intellectuals of the time rose up to answer the charges that were leveled against Christianity. In many apologetic writings of the period, for example, Justin Martyr's Apology and Athenagoras's Plea, we can see four common accusations against Christians. First, the Christian community was charged with sedition. Christians were regarded as traitors, undermining the authority of the empire. As early as 29 BC, emperor worship had emerged, most notably in the Asian city of Pergamum, and it continued well into the 2nd century AD. Reciting the phrase, "Caesar is Lord," burning incense to the emperor's image, or swearing by his name was required in order to prove loyalty to the state. The Christians refused to grant worship to the emperor, and so were seen as disloyal and as being involved in political conspiracies. While believing that governments were to be respected, apologists like Justin Martyr argued that Christians were exemplary models of civic virtue, paid their taxes, and submitted to the civil laws, but were unable to confess Caesar as Lord because Jesus was the one and only Lord worthy of worship.